There's no particular surprise in finding out that consumers use color to guide their buying choices. If you have a baby boy, the blue blanket is often your choice, not the pink one. If you want a soft drink but not a cola, you reach for the green can, not the red one. But we make other judgments about products and stores based on color, and it goes beyond simple choice into the ethics we perceive behind brands and stores. Our next guest studied this issue and published a paper a few months ago in the Journal of Business Ethics called How Logo Colors Influence Shoppers' Judgments of Retailer Ethicality, the Mediating Role of Perceived Eco-Friendliness. There's a mouthful. It was co-written by Aparna Sundar and James J. Kolaris. Aparna Sundar is an assistant professor of marketing in the Lundquist College of Business at the University of Oregon and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Sundar.
Thank you for having me.
So the idea of the ethics of a product or brand, is this a frequent area of exploration for you?
It is something that I am interested in. And my co-author, James Kolaris, and I, as we started this topic, I come from a design background, and in some fashion I am interested in ethical issues. And James has, he's published voraciously in this area. And he said, Aparna, what do you want to do? And I said, as a designer, I think there are a lot of these cues that make consumers, perform in certain fashions that I would be interested in exploring. And one of the fundamental things that we're exposed to through brands and through any kind of product is the visual element. So that's something that I'm very, very interested in, and that's the kind of research that I do, everything to do with visual cues that influence consumer behavior and consumer decisions. And so we were interested in this area, and we said, okay, let's look at the role of color in some of the, A, ethical decisions that consumers make, and B, any kind of underlying mechanisms that might actually inform the way consumers make decisions.
Which, so the issue of color is pretty well established, I would think, by now in marketing. I mean, if you've got this great snazzy product, you're probably not going to deck it out in brown, for example.
Well, that's kind of like, I mean, I see what you're saying. And it is there's a lot of research that exists in color. And color is one of those elements in visual information, that when you present color to consumers, it can have effects on various different levels. One of it can be very visceral. There's a lot of research that shows that certain colors like red actually increases arousal versus calming colors and soothing colors like blue or green. And so you'll actually see consumers on certain websites like eBay and things like that will actually aggressively bid higher when they have a background of the color red. So that's just on the visceral aspect. You also have color that functions on, say, a more emotional aspect, in which, certain colors are more positive colors, certain colors are negative colors, and things like that. The theories that we looked at and the angle with which we went in is more this role of color as it symbolizes certain things. So the beginning of the onset of the show, you mentioned how, if you had a boy, of course you would go towards the blues. The blues are the colors that you would pick, and then the pinks are ones that you would stay away. This is so cultural, and also it is something that that is symbolic of gender. And so it symbolizes this meaning, this underlying meaning that it has, is something that's a very cognitive way in which we respond to color. So although there's a lot of research on color in the marketing domain, I think it's important to identify what aspect of consumer psychology that color speaks to or, consumers relate to.
But, that's a great point. I didn't even think about when I was saying it, but I was going to ask you about the difference between the visceral things that you just respond to because perhaps, things way back in nature, red is the color of blood, so it's going to, it's going to get our attention for sure. Uh-huh. But then we do get the cultural overlays as well, it seems like. We respond to blue as meaning this thing. We respond to pink as meaning this thing. So
right. So
there's a lot of stuff mixed in there together, it sounds like.
Certainly. And things like eco, friendliness, things like that, these are all more modern concepts. When back in the day when we were hunter-gatherers, things like that, everything, was in our, in nature, we were pretty eco-friendly then. And so at that point, this concept in and of itself wouldn't stand out. But it does now in our industrialized societies and the way we live and the way we do things that we think about these concepts in certain specific ways. And what we do in this paper, the term green, the word green, if someone were to say the word green, it's almost, you know, transferable. It's almost interchangeable to this concept of eco-friendliness. So what we did in this paper was we said, well, does the color green actually symbolize the same thing? So what we are doing is we're looking at it from an embodied versus referential viewpoint, which is the meaning of a term versus the way that that term actually presents itself to consumers. So that's kind of a little bit, that's distinct from what's been done in the past, in that, you know, when you look at the color, it's quite different than when you actually say the color, which stands for this whole body or this whole concept of eco-friendliness, is, which, of course, is, you know, it means a completely, it has an, you know, there's a lot of research that's been done, and there's a lot of categorization on what is and what is not eco-friendliness and things like that. So it's this kind of cue, and it's this kind of trigger of certain heuristic cues that, you know, triggers a whole host of meanings. And that's what we're, you know, that's what we're unearthing with this particular research.
And one of the findings, of course, is that you can be green without actually using the color green. We'll expand on that in just a moment. I just want to remind our listeners, we're talking to Dr. Aparna Sundar, Assistant Professor of Marketing at the Lundquist College of Business at the University of Oregon, the co-author with James Kolaris at the University of Cincinnati of How Logo Colors Influence Shoppers' Judgments of Retailer Ethicality, the Mediating Role of Perceived Eco-Friendliness. Join us on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 on the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So it really was about trying to establish how people perceived whether a product or a store was green in the sense of green being environmentally friendly?
Right. So when we look at environmental friendliness, there's a whole host of things that constitutes that. Everything from energy conservation to the way we use waste, the way we use water, and, you know, the way businesses conduct, you know, retailers conduct businesses with each other, how they, you know, they treat their employees, things like that. There's a whole host of things that constitutes something, you know, which is seen as eco-friendliness or not. We didn't go into that. What we were looking at is, are these cues triggering individuals to make these spontaneous inferences that, yeah, this is, of course, an eco-friendly company or not? And to go with the colors, what we did was we actually adopted colors that retailers, we wanted one particular platform. So, yeah, we could do the same thing with brands. But what we did was we said, okay, let's just look at all the retailers that are out there, because it seems like, you know, this eco-friendly concept is pretty important to this entire group. So let's just take colors from their logos. So everything from, you know, the logo colors of Target, Trader Joe's, Walmart, Sam's Club, Food Lion, things like that. We just, you know, Whole Foods, all these different colors, we just, you know, created, and we created a fictitious logo using these colors, and that's what we pre-tested.
And who did you test it on? Who were the participants of the study?
Participants were an online survey group, so we got individuals from all over the United States. It was an online panel, and all they were shown was this fictitious logo with these different colors on it. We said nothing, so there's no prior inferences on the brand. So that's another important thing, is that if we already have certain, you know, images about the brand, if we know something about the brand, that's going to inform the way in which we make these judgments, these ethical judgments or these eco-friendly judgments. We picked ambiguous brands, and we just showed them an ambiguous logo, made up a write-up of this particular retailer, and then showed them this logo just in different colors. There were no combination of colors. It was just colors that we actually showed them and have them rate it. And it was a large sample of, I think, over 200 consumer groups who are rating all these different logos in terms of how they perceive that particular retailer to be eco-friendly or not.
And it was just a logo? How descriptive a logo? Did it look like a letter or anything like that? Or was it just a swoosh or something?
What we did was, James and I had some fun with this. What we did was we said we wanted an ambiguous logo. So we did not want that, you know, so if someone were to show you a green leaf or a tree or things like that, that already has some kind of symbolism attached to it. So we wanted a pretty ambiguous logo. And so we created one which looked like a half a globe, and the other one was a cog of an industrial, you know, wheel cog. And so we made sure that was a pretty ambiguous. It has both sides of it if you want to look at it as something that is, you know, very earth-friendly or not or whatever. But basically, we just did not want the scale on eco-friendliness to move because of the shape. Once we established the shape, we just, you know, infused that with color. So basically, as far as the logo, what the write-up that they saw was a logo with the name underneath it, and then a write-up about the store, too. It was a very generic write-up you know, this particular retailer has so many stores, you know, around the United States and sells these grocery products at the Great Deli and things like that. Just a very ambiguous description of the retailer, per se.
And not with a name. There was no name attached?
There was a name. We called it Davey. It's a very fictitious name. Davey Grocery Store is what I called it.
Okay. So it's meant to be a grocery store chain. And they look at this logo that's like half globe and half half cog in gear. And and then you did in different colors then and made the same claims about it all the way down the line.
Correct. So for the very first pretest that we did, we didn't even make any claims. We just asked them how environmentally friendly or how eco-friendly do you think Davey Grocery Store is? And so basically any kind of reading that we got was based on the variation in color. Nothing else varied. Only color varied. And that's where we established that, you know, the reds are seen as less eco-friendly. And interestingly, we expected greens to be more eco-friendly. But what we were finding was blue more so was on the extreme end of the scale. And that's something that, you know, that seems to be, I mean, when we look at certain logos in industry too, it seems to be a pretty popular color that's used. And we're finding that these associations of eco-friendliness seem to be the highest with this color blue, which makes some sense when you look at it from a biological or from a more of a evolutionary perspective in terms of the earth and water and the blue skies and things like that. So there are certain, there's certain cues that can, there's certain evidence that we can tap into saying, okay, that makes sense that, yeah, we define green the way we define it, but individuals make these implicit associations based on perhaps other kinds of, evolutionary milestones in our history.
So here again, just having the color green did not necessarily make you perceived as green, and in fact, it sounds like blue won this pretty handily.
That's correct. In fact, green, well, you do perceive green, that green is perceived to be eco-friendly, so let's just say that, but blue is more so. It's not significantly different, but it definitely is directionally more so than the color green. So they're both those colors, which we did subsequent tests to actually tease this apart, and this is where the visual verbal, the, you know, referential meaning versus embodied meaning comes into play. When you say green or you see the color green, both these are seen as eco-friendly. But when you say blue, no one thinks about companies or no one thinks about a company as being eco-friendly just because it has a blue logo or things like that. But when they see it, it certainly triggers that, it certainly triggers that inference from consumers.
Dr. Aparna Sundar is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, assistant professor of marketing at the Lundquist College of Business at the University of Oregon. She and her counterpart, James Kalaris, at the University of Cincinnati, worked up this study we're hearing about, which involved testing fictitious business logos for color and seeing what people perceived as the ethics of that business. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we go further into the conversation. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I'm curious to know, Aparna, if the groups got to see the same logo in different colors, or did the red people only see the red logo, did the green people only see the green logo, and so forth?
That is correct. So these are between subjects, so each group just saw one, they just rated one logo.
So there's no way of knowing if somebody, saw Davey's Grocery and thought, oh, wait, now I like it because it's blue instead of red.
That's right.
Okay.
So there was no comparison. It was just, these are completely spontaneous. They just see one logo. They just give us their ratings. And then we compare it to a completely different group that saw it in different. So the only variation there is color.
Okay. So I'm just curious to know about the possibility of color clutter. Mm-hmm. As you go through history, because green certainly means environmental now, when we talk about green, even without having the color itself present. But I also think about the fact that green is signified other things in history, like menthol for cigarettes or decaf for coffee, mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
Yes. Excuse me. And there certainly can be these inferences, especially when it comes to products that are ingested and things that have these other dimensions of, flavoring and, if there's a taste involved and things like that, there could be an interference of, So basically, I just hypothesized, I haven't done this particular study, but I did think about it as I was looking at some of the images that surfaced based on, this research on online and things like that. But I was thinking, you know, when you look at a particular product, branding is one of it, and this is very, very specific to identity branding. So in the logo, I have done studies in which I will change the color of the packaging in and of itself, and that doesn't make a whole lot of difference in the way that consumers perceive the brand. It's only with the identity branding that we're seeing this effect of color. So, for example, I had a package which was, you know, I think it was a granola bar, and, you know, it had apples as the flavoring, and so the package is designed in red, but I can also tweak the colors and make that package look like it's, you know, the Granny Smith apples giving it the flavoring, and so the package is in green. And I did test some of these, and I don't find any differences in the way that the brand is seen as eco-friendly or not. So this has a lot to do, this current paper that we're talking about, the one that just came out with James, is definitely to do with identity branding. When you look at actual packaging, like I said, if there are flavor inferences that can be made, I think that would trump or that would precede any kind of other associations that are subsequent associations made. So it's very contextual, too, and we have to look at different influences in a particular, you know, when we're looking at a product specifically, we need to look at different influences before and what it is that we're studying to. In this particular case, all we were doing is studying the inferences on the manufacturer, on the retailer. When it comes to a product and you're looking at how, you know, inferences on the manufacturer goes, we're not finding that effect. So just changing your package color, you know, I'm not finding evidence of it. We could, it could be that, you know, maybe the logo color and the package, I don't know. We still are conducting, you know, studies on that to kind of hone in on the effects of this on just surface treatment of packages.
Okay, now we're not talking about the psychology school here. We're talking about the marketing school. So this is really about what you do with the information. And so what sorts of things would you then recommend to retailers as they're thinking of designing logos and what colors to choose along the way?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with what the brand stands for. And that's what ultimately it is. If you're, I think from an ethical standpoint and from a business standpoint, I think it makes good business sense to not portray yourself as being green if that's not what you're in the business for. And oftentimes, and I think this whole research started off because they did this quick search on the Trade Commission, the website for trademark regulation, and the use of just the term green. There is such an overwhelming use of the term green, and I think I put it on the paper too, is that when I did a search back then, this was 2012 or 2013 when I did this search, just the term green, you have around 21,000, a little over 21,000 that actually use the word green. And when you look at other kinds of colors like aquamarine, for example, the term is only used 38 times. But when we look at the, the usage of color, so the actual color in the logo and things like that, you have a much less, instance that's there. So I think there's been this focus on the use of word green has been quite regulated by the Trademark Association, by the USPTO. It's been quite regulated. And so we focus a lot on this actual word, the use of the word green. And I think we also need to think about color. I'm not saying we go out and regulate all that, but we do need to think as companies to think about, you know, if it is not a product that is, you know, it's not an offering for consumers, to make that has any associations with environmental friendliness, then adhere to the color that makes most sense to your brand personality.
All right, so don't try to convince people that you're green one way or the other. I mean, just communicate other things. So, I mean, does this then make the packaging wording and lettering and all that sort of stuff a little more important than it would have been?
I do think that, you know, if you look at identity branding, very purely from a color perspective, you know, back in the day when I was in the field as a marketer and worked for companies that used a lot of red in their identity branding, and that red would seep into store signages, the way a certain personnel wore, you know, the uniforms personnel wore, things like that. And so the color that you use in your initial identity branding can actually percolate into different kinds of you know, branding strategies by the firm in and of itself. And so if it's a color that is got nothing to do with, you know, eco-friendliness and things like that, then I think it's better to stand for what it is that you are. And if, it, you know, if reds or blues or yellows are truer to that particular identity, then it makes sense to actually adopt those colors.
So when NBC, for example, changes the peacock to all green on certain days, it makes no difference whatsoever?
Well, we're doing further studies on this, where we're actually looking at the influence of changing colors under certain circumstances, very, very similar to what you said. But you know how, I don't want to give away too much because we're still in our, you know, initial versions of this, but we are curious to see what happens when, you know, when companies do are in situations where they would have to, you know, forego their original identities in terms of color and see how that influences consumers and things like that.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see that, too. Yeah. And I was just thinking, too, about the fact that Target has the color of alarm, and, of course, it's got the Target, too.
Right.
But they've managed to really soften their image with the doggy and all the other stuff.
Right. And it works well. I mean, I think, you know, seasonally, too, it works well under certain circumstances, so...
Absolutely. Okay, a lot we've learned today about color and how people perceive it. The work is called How Logo Colors Influence Shoppers' Judgments of Retailer Ethicality, the Mediating Role of Perceived Eco-Friendliness by James Kalaris at the University of Cincinnati and our guest, Dr. Aparna Sundar at the University of Oregon. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
All right, pleasure.